All comments, views, and opinions expressed during the following program do not reflect the views of this station. All topics discussed are meant for educational purposes only. Talk with your doctor before starting any new treatments. Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned to find out how you can open your mind to new possibilities in life.
Good evening, this is Stuart Altshuler, and welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles, and this is a show where we deal with mental health issues. I take a much more holistic approach to my practice, my life, and what we do here on the show. This is a live call-in show, and I invite anybody who wants to participate in the show this evening. The toll-free number is 1-866-277-5369, 866-277-5369, and if you're in the Phoenix area, the local number is 602-277-KFNX. Rightly so, and quite appropriately, I believe, tonight's topic is grief. Interestingly enough, I had already planned this show with my guest, Bill Benson, who's a marriage and family therapist from Los Angeles also. Bill's specialty, as we'll talk about later, is actually helping people deal with the loss of their pets, although he has a wide range of skills. And it may seem strange to talk about that tonight, but we are going to expand tonight's conversation to deal with grief, individual and collective grieving, people to pets. And that's how I titled this tonight. There was a short article in today's Los Angeles Times. Most Americans feeling depressed, survey finds. Terrorist attacks have united the country in its backing for a strong military response, but have left many Americans depressed, distracted, and sleepless, a poll found. 7 in 10 said that they have felt depressed since the attacks. Nearly half report having trouble concentrating, and a third said they have had trouble sleeping, according to the poll by the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. Women more likely to say that they were feeling depressed about the attacks, 4 in 5, than men, fewer than 2/3. Parents were more likely than childless people to feel depressed. Residents of major cities along both coasts were more likely to say they were depressed by the attack than were other Americans. Women also reported more problems sleeping than men. Depression, about this, of course. Depression, part of grieving, of course. My sense of depression is that depression is a state of non-feeling. I think it's a place we go to protect ourselves from having to deal with the emotions that need to come up, that need to be expressed. So that if we're afraid of their feelings, and let's face it, most Americans are afraid of their emotions, afraid of vulnerability, afraid of looking too weak, unless the emotion is anger or rage, although most of us have been raised to repress that also. Also, most of us are ill-prepared to deal with loss. And it's not been a tool we've been dealt with. I remember when my grandmother died, when I was 11 years old, being very sheltered from the death from my own grieving, and my parents using it as, you know, their grief, and that I'm too young to understand it, and yet I love my grandmother a lot and actually was aware of what was going on and angry that I wasn't even allowed at the graveside for this service. I had feelings. Children have feelings. Most parents don't know how to deal with their own feelings, never mind the emotions of their children. So grieving is something that's very difficult for a lot of people. I talked to my younger brother today to ask, yesterday as a matter of fact, to ask about how my 14-year-old nephew is dealing with the grief. And my brother and my nephew and sister-in-law live in a suburb on Syosset where there are a lot of commuters into Manhattan, a lot of financial people, and there are 3 fathers on that block that were killed in the terrorist attack. So my nephew, of course, is confronting it. He knows what's going on, and he has feelings. And luckily, my brother knew how to sit down. My sister-in-law knew how to sit down and let him express what he's feeling and help him understand what's going on and that what he's feeling is normal and natural. But what are we feeling? There's a book called The Grief Recovery Handbook by John James and Russell Friedman. It's the most recent edition that I have. And in Chapter 1, Grief, a Neglected and Misunderstood Process, grief is the normal and natural reaction to loss of any kind. Therefore, the feelings you are having are also normal and natural for you. The problem is that we all have been socialized to believe that these feelings are abnormal and unnatural. While grief is normal and natural, and clearly the most powerful of all emotions, it is also the most neglected and misunderstood experience, often by both the grievers and those around them. Grief is the conflicting feelings caused by the end of or change in a familiar pattern of behavior. I like that definition because they're clearly saying that grief is not just about the death of a loved one. What do we mean by conflicting feelings? Let us explain by example. When someone you love dies after suffering a long illness, you may feel a sense of relief that your loved one's suffering is over. There is a positive feeling, even though it is associated with a death. At the same time, you may realize that you can no longer see or touch that person. This may be very painful for you. These conflicting feelings, relief and pain, are totally normal in the response to death. What about divorce? Are there conflicting feelings too? Yes, you may feel a genuine sense of freedom now that the battles are over. This is a positive feeling. At the same time, you may be afraid that you will never find someone as beautiful, as good a provider again. These conflicting feelings, freedom and fear, are also natural responses to loss. All relationships have aspects of familiarity, whether they are romantic, social, familial, or business. What other losses cause similar conflicting feelings? While death and divorce are obvious, many other loss experiences have been identified that can produce grief. Among them are death of a pet, moving, starting school, death of a former spouse, marriage, graduation, end of addictions, major health changes, retirement, financial changes, positive or negative, holidays, legal problems, empty nest. Often these common life experiences are not seen as grieving events. We grieve for the loss of all relationships we deem significant, which are thus also emotional. I really like the way they talked about this because, just like in my second show, I talked about intimacy, where intimacy applies to everything, not just a primary relationship. We have an intimate relationship with our body, with our career, with money, all these things, and they tend to take the same pattern. It's the same thing with grief. Anything that's about change, particularly unwanted change, particularly unexpected change, cause grief. But even wanted change, like going into recovery, you know, from drug addiction or behavioral addiction, can cause grief even though it's something that's making you feel better and healthier. A lot of therapists see it all the time. I know I do when I'm working with clients in recovery, that one of the things they're dealing with is not just how do they maintain their recovery, but the fact that they're grieving the loss of an old friend, that chemical, that behavior. It may be a very destructive friend, but it's a familiar friend. So even in the sense of something that is for our betterment, there is still the need to acknowledge a natural healing process called grieving. Now, when we're dealing with this, there are also times when there's mass grieving going on, that there are people, because of the intensity and immensity of the deaths that have occurred because of a terrorist attack here, there are people who are dealing with this very individually, the loss of a loved one, someone that they knew, someone that they loved, someone that's been a part of their life that will no longer be a physical part of their life. But there is what I call the collective grieving. All of us are grieving. My friend Kathy, who lives in Manhattan, said that people are getting back to business there, going to school, going to work, shopping, doing all that thing, but there's this blank look on so many faces. They're doing it because it's what they know, what's familiar. They're doing it because it's what they have to do to bring a sense of normalcy back. But something's missing. What's missing is the joy, the passion, the excitement, and the vibrancy of what Manhattan has always been about. Almost as if she said she feels and people around them feel guilty if they laugh, if they see something that's funny, as opposed to knowing that even in grief, laughter is part of the process. Laughter is part of the human emotions. I had a client this morning. It's the first time I'd seen him in a few months. Why? Because what went on triggered a lot of things for him, and he called and said, I think I need to come back into therapy for a while and deal with this. And what he said, it had to do with a sexual relationship with his male lover, and he said, sex has been one of the areas that's not been a problem. But what he said to me this morning was that he's not been interested for the last week and a half, and he's afraid it's going to impact the relationship. And part of what he said was, I feel guilty having that pleasure right now. I feel like I'm not supposed to. I feel like there's something wrong with me if I want to experience that with somebody that I love, when so many other people are hurting and can't experience it again. The reality of it is, it's that intimacy, whether it be sexual or physical, that in our state of grief, so many of us require and need to help us with the healing. It's about coming together. And in coming together, whether it's in a church, whether it's these candlelight vigils that have taken place all over the world, and many of them spontaneous, it's about coming together. Some people choose to isolate. It's what's familiar to them. At a time of grieving, it can be one of the most dangerous things because isolation does not allow for the movement. It doesn't allow for the connection. It doesn't allow for identifying that you have emotions, that you're human, letting others see it, which is, to me, one of the most important things we can do, is be honest. That's the title of the show, Tell the Truth Faster. The faster you start talking about the pain you feel, the anger you feel, the fear that you feel, the love that you feel even though somebody has died, the lack of safety and security that you feel, tell the truth faster within yourself, to whatever higher power you deal with, and communicate with others, therapists, friends, come together, talk about it. It's part of the grieving process. It's part of the healing process. And the healing process starts from the moment that the pain begins, from the moment that the loss occurs. And how long we give that healing process is really up to us. How quickly we're willing and able to move through our fear of what we're feeling, to put it out of ourselves verbally, emotionally express it, to do it in the healthiest and most constructive of ways, as opposed to isolating, holding it in, letting it build. And in a group I ran last night, the Hayride, you know, we talked about this too. By holding it in and staying stuck, you're giving that terrorist attack more room. You're actually going to hold it in until not just the World Trade Center imploded, but until we implode, until you implode so much because there is such a buildup of energy and emotion. Sooner or later, the body cannot deal with it, and destructive things happen. So tonight we'll be talking about this grieving process on all levels, from pets to people, and our guest will be Bill Benson, who will be joining us after this break.
Tell the Truth Faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Rolfing therapy is a technique of reorganizing the connection tissue of the body. Through application of slow, deep, respectful pressure, chronic strain, imbalances, and injury patterns are released from the muscular system. This results in more flexibility, ease of movement without tightness or pain, better posture, and greater energy. Stephen Mettner, owner of the Rolfing Studio, located in the heart of downtown Tempe, is a certified advanced rolfer in full-time practice for 13 years. He has achieved the highest level of training and certification from the Rolf Institute. For more information, you can contact the Rolfing Studio at 480-966-1776. That's 480-966-1776.
Mood Swing Salon can show you the difference between average and breathtaking. Mood Swing Salon offers hair, skin, nail, and body services, which include services such as stress-relieving scalp massage and finishing makeup touch-up. Mood Swing Salon uses only environmentally conscious Aveda products. Experience mood-altering skin and body treatments at Mood Swing Salons and receive top-quality hair services combined with plant-based color. Located at 520 South Mill Avenue in Tempe, Mood Swings offers an experience like no other salon can. Staffed by over 30 talented individuals, they are here for you to ensure a wonderful, relaxing experience. Mood Swings will provide you with more than you expected. Rejuvenate and align with Mood Swings.
Logan Appraisal is the official appraisal company of American Family Mortgages. With over 30 years of experience, Logan Appraisal can provide fair and accurate appraisals with some of the quickest turnaround time in the industry. Whether you're buying or selling your home, Logan Appraisal can put its commercial and residential statewide service work for you. For more information, please call 602-375-5305.
Join Dr. Carol Lee as she hosts Choices, Calvary Guiding Light, every Thursday from 9 to 9:30 p.m. Dr. Carol will talk about life's issues everyone can relate to. Upcoming shows will focus on education, intimacy and relationships, prayer, faith, and healing. Do you often question yourself and the choices you make in today's chaotic world? Learn what you can do to help yourself choose the right path. Again, that's Choices, Calvary Guiding Light, Thursday at 9 p.m. right here on AM 1100 KFNX.
Are the feelings of anxiety you experience so intense you feel as though you need counseling to help you through the dark times? Talk About Recovery with Joe Amico is a program focusing on addictions. These conditions come in all shapes and forms. Talk About Recovery with Joe Amico, Tuesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. on AM 1100 KFNX. Sponsored in part by The Meadows. Call 1-800-THE-MEADOWS, where recovery becomes reality.
Talk to our expert hosts in the Phoenix area. Call 602-277-KFNX. Outside the Phoenix area, call toll-free 866-277-KFNX.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altrill. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist from Los Angeles, and tonight's topic is grief, individual and collective grieving of people to pets. And tonight, my guest is a friend of mine and colleague here in Los Angeles, Bill Benson, who's also a licensed marriage and family therapist. He specializes, actually, in helping people through their bereavement process, and has been profiled nationally for his work with those grieving the loss of their beloved pets. Don't underestimate the power of that. I lost my bird a few weeks ago and unexpectedly, and there was quite a bit of work for me to do about that. He has a consulting practice which has grown out of his compassion and understanding of the strong bond between people. His work with individuals facing the challenges of terminal illness as well as people and pet emotional attachment. He's pioneered the Mental Gym, which is thementalgym.org on the web, a solution-focused life coaching strategy intended to help individuals make life decisions through reconnecting with their inner passion. He's published, including articles in the Division 44 newsletter, the American Psychological Association, the Los Angeles Review, We Magazine, United Airlines newsletter, appropriately so, and is currently the mental health columnist for www.justinrood.com. And he also hosts a weekly show on Long Beach and West Hollywood cables called Doc Talk. Bill, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster.
Thank you for having me.
Well,
Stuart.
Thanks. Yeah. You're welcome.
It's kind of a strange thing to be talking to you via Phoenix.
That's right. I
usually chat with you from our West Hollywood offices. So.
That's right. And on your show I've been on.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you're here tonight, and I'm glad that we actually had scheduled this. I'm sorry that we have a bigger picture to deal with tonight.
We're all sorry about that.
Yeah, I know. But I'd actually like to start with you giving a brief description of the grieving process.
Well, every therapist has their own ideas about it, but there was a really wonderful researcher by the name of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross that assigned stages to the grieving process. And although the stages can be interchangeable and can come at any time, generally there's the denial stage, there's the anger stage, there's the depression. Sometimes there's a bargaining stage, which I'll get into later. And then there's an eventual depression, which leads into usually the final resolution or the acceptance stage.
And I know that I alluded to this in my introduction and stuff, but what's the timetable on these stages? I mean, is there an expected length of time that people should grieve or can grieve?
Well, I think, these last week's events, and we're going to talk a little bit about, I'd like to talk a little bit about, especially the depression stage, because now I think we're settling into the depression stage,
mm-hmm.
and that's not necessarily a negative thing.
Right.
You said earlier that you felt that depression was the absence of emotion, and I can understand that, especially if it's not worked on, but I think it's a wonderful process in that it slows us down,
mm-hmm.
makes us reevaluate, because it really impedes our functioning to the point where we have to pay attention to what's going on, and through that we can look towards solution.
Right. That's if we're choosing to let that period of depression be an introspective time as opposed to hiding out in it. And either way, I know people can make that choice, and even hiding out in it is not necessarily a terrible thing if they need to take smaller steps rather than feel overwhelmed by what they're about to move into.
Well, again, I don't think there's any clear answer to how long this will take. Of course, our job as therapists are to help people through this as quickly as possible, and we're trained to do that. But people do grieve at their own level and in their own time. The terrorist attacks obviously have created this mass grief that's going on, this collective grief, as
mm-hmm.
you stated, and so that we're looking at grief in different ways, where there's individual grief as well as the collective, and people can get stuck in a stage as well as work through a stage. I wanted to mention that as well. For example, what I might want to do is just kind of give you a brief rundown of what I saw happening last week as far as the stage work.
Mm-hmm. Please.
Okay. So basically what I saw happening was the day of the attack was also pretty much the beginning of the denial stage.
Let me stop you on the denial stage there, because we need to take a quick break, and that way you won't be interrupted.
Absolutely.
As you go through the whole thing. So
okay.
I invite all of you to stay tuned as we continue to talk and honor what this country is going through right now and the people that are suffering, which really includes all of us. So we'll be right back.
Tell the Truth Faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Has your child been labeled with a mental illness? Has your child been referred to psychological counseling without your knowledge or consent? Are your parental rights being threatened by officials unless you agree to drug treatment of your child for a mental illness? The Citizens Commission on Human Rights has received reports throughout the state of harm stemming from wrongful psychiatric labeling and drugging of children with mind-altering psychiatric drugs. If you or anyone you know has had this happen to them, contact the Citizens Commission on Human Rights at 602-265-7641. CCHR investigates and exposes psychiatric abuse of human rights. If you know of any abuses, please contact the Citizens Commission on Human Rights at 602-265-7641. Again, that number is 602-265-7641.
God has directed the affairs of man throughout the centuries and continues to do so even at this very moment. The Crown is Faith Hour with Stephen Sanders is broadcast every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. and explains how the Crown is Faith helps persons learn to hear and obey that still small voice within. 81 years young, with nearly 40 years of daily moment-to-moment living through divine revelation, Stephen Sanders will speak to your heart and mind to bring absolute reality to your spiritual life. To order a personal copy of the Crown is Faith Hour, to learn more about the Crown is Faith, or to preview a copy of Mr. Sanders' book, To Him Who Conquers, please write The Crown is Faith, Post Office Box Drawer 13148, Phoenix, Arizona 85002-3148, or email crownisfaith@earthlink.net.
It's a fact. Your vision as a leader greatly impacts how well your organization's performance is perceived. So Wednesday mornings at 7, spend an hour thinking with Russ Marriott, one of the West's premier management consultants. Join Russ on your way to work every Wednesday. Thinking with Russ Marriott features interviews with successful leaders, authors, and includes Russ's own commentary. If you want to achieve success, then tune in to Thinking with Russ Marriott, Wednesday mornings at 7 on AM 1100 KF. FNX.
Are you looking for answers to the questions the internet and technology pose? Then tune in to KFNX 1100 AM every Saturday at 9 AM. For Cyber on America, BJ the Cyber DJ will discuss the internet, its technologies, and its social ramifications. With each show devoted to a different and exciting internet issue, BJ the Cyber DJ explains and encourages the use and integration of the internet into your everyday life. Tune in to KFNX 1100 AM every Saturday at 9 AM for Cyber on America.
Dance with Bev over coffee about Bev's Gems. How to start your own business, invest in real estate, market your own products or business, and make your investments work for you. Bev would love to share her gems of experience with you and the experiences of her other clients, as well as having you share your experiences. Fridays at 6 a.m. while you're commuting. Don't forget your cell phones, because Bev will share her gems every Friday at 6 a.m. on KFNX. So call her at 602-277-KFNX.
Here's your current KFNX weather forecast, heard at the top and bottom of every hour. Listening to Arizona's Talk Alternative, offering the most unique programming. 1100 KFNX, Renaissance Radio.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles. And tonight we're talking about grief, individual and collective grieving, from people to pets. This is a live call-in show, so if you are moved to contribute in any way, ask a question or make a comment, the toll-free number is 1-866-277-5369. 866-277-5369. Feel free to call. We're talking tonight with a friend of mine, Bill Benson, another marriage and family therapist from Los Angeles. And he was, Bill, you were just about to start talking about the stages with
right.
what's going on collectively.
Right. Before the break, we had touched on the work of Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She was a noted clinician and bereavement researcher, and she broke the intrapsychic grappling that we do when we do grieve down into different stages, the denial stage, the anger stage, the bargaining stage, the depression stage, and then finally the acceptance stage. And I wanted to use the horrifying events of the past week not to trivialize their impact, but rather to illustrate the theory with a sincere hope of providing comfort that, you know, that comes with understanding.
Great.
So the Tuesday, September 11th, I think most Americans spent it, you know, staring wide-eyed at the TV screens and at each other. And I think as we saw that second plane plunge into the World Trade Center, we kind of swirled into this surreal detachment. Our minds were so overloaded with the horrific images that it pushed us into this foggy and self-protective kind of recess of the brain. And that was the denial. That was the beginning of the denial stage. Its aim was to give us a momentary psychological distance that the network cameras would not give us. And oftentimes when one experiences horrific news or is part of a horrific event, our mind will do that, will detach us from the event so that we can get through the event. The next day, I saw the anger stage kick in. It was apparent as, you know, we began telephoning and emailing those we loved. And I want to talk a little bit about anger. Anger is often is a healthy expression of one's esteem. By feeling wronged, we first have a feeling of rightness about our environment and ourselves. And so through the stage-appropriate process of anger, our minds review our principles and reassert our needs. And the process is really a necessary precursor to negotiation and ultimately resolve. There's something that was troubling me, though, the following day, and that was that anger is not rage. And I did see, and perhaps it was a pressure to appear strong and decisive, but I saw several community leaders broach ideas and elicit accusations that emboldened the uneducated few to react violently, ragefully.
I wonder who you could mean. Go ahead.
So yeah. By the end of the week, you know, there were innocent Arab Americans and innocent people of the Islamic faith that were actually murdered out of this ragefulness.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because the people that were rageful assumed that they fit a terrorist profile.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that not only does that stall us within a stage when we're rageful, but it is a very dangerous thing. So I think that we really must learn to thoughtfully respond, not emotionally react, even when the tragedy is so great as last week's events.
Well, for some people, that rage comes from not knowing what to do with the anger, and it builds so much that there's an explosiveness to it.
Right.
For some people, that's what that rage represents, and the lack of ability or permission to be angry.
Exactly, and you spoke earlier of it's a fascinating topic, really, rage, because you can become rageful out of isolation. It can be a very isolatory experience, or it can be a very ramping up experience where you get people going, and all of a sudden you've got a lynch mob on your hands. But there does have to be a mindfulness about the process of anger for our own protection as well as for the betterment of our environment. It's also vital to have this, again, anger can be productive, rage is never productive.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting, by Friday, many people were awash with the red, white, and blue clothing, and we were praying for victims and the rescuers and ourselves, and we attended church services and candlelight vigils, and it somehow, it was what I called the bargaining, well, what Elizabeth Kubler-Ross called the bargaining stage. I felt this was a good indication of that. If somehow we pulled together, we're more patriotic or mindful of God, that then nothing more could happen or bewilder the great land we have in our collective psyches. So again, it was a stage that helped band us together, this time not in anger, but in a way to try to reason through this situation. Then finally, the weekend came, and over the weekend, the sobering reality of the long and covert operation that we need to methodically weed out, you know, this needle of responsibility amid a haystack of world politics began to weigh on us. And, you know, we heard the 21st century terrorism cannot be quickly or neatly resolved. And so America experienced a sinking feeling, and this was the depression that we mentioned a little earlier. That coupled with Monday's stock market fallout, and, you know, the stock market continues the downward trend, America really has been dealt with another blow, and this depression, nonetheless, is vital to our recovery. This emotional phenomena slows us down again and affords us the luxury of reevaluation, and with reflection comes reinvention. So the week has been an interesting illustration of Kubler-Ross's theories, and we're not done with this yet. And, of course, we can always go back into the different stages and revisit these stages until finally we get the acceptance, we get the resolve. We've all heard by now that our world will never be the same. You know, it's funny, I've been thinking, I'm reminded of this gym motto from the 90s. I don't remember the gymnasium, but it was something like, we are either growing towards strength or accepting weakness. And in the light of all that's happened this last week, I think that it popped into my mind, and I think that that motto is well-intentioned, but I think they got it wrong. I think that accepting is about strength.
Mm-hmm.
By accepting and learning from our tragedies, we are strengthening a scope of experience and understanding that allows us to truly appreciate all that we have to be thankful for.
Well said.
So it's been an interesting week.
Well, I was actually having my mind to do a whole show on what I consider the impact of current events in general on mental health issues and spiritual blocks and things like that. I mean, obviously, what's been going on this last week and a half is a clear-cut example of that, but I think a lot of people underestimate even stories over and over again of, you know, rapes and robberies and violent crime or things like that. And in particular, and you know, I wrote a whole article on this for a newsletter a number of months ago, I believe there's still this undercurrent of grief from the past election. And I don't think the U.S. and most people have really healed. People that were really affected by it, like myself actually,
right,
have really finished the healing of the reality of again, the trust we had in the system, the sense of democracy, all these other things. And this is in no way about a partisan type of thing. You know, Bush's speech tonight actually was the best I've ever heard him, and said the right things, and I really commend him for that, and I commend everybody the way everybody's pulling together. This is what we should be doing now. But the point is more about the fact that there's still been the wind kicked out of us from something we never thought could happen within our political system and what we felt was right, or, you know, a system that was supposed to work a certain way and didn't, in the opinions of many people, not all. And now, before we're even out of that, we have something even more intense and more unbelievable and unfathomable that's happened. But it was still taking place to people who were raw still and not necessarily healed from a major current event.
Well, disillusionment is a form of grief.
Right.
And if we're not given the tools to work through it, we stagnate in it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that is my main concern with my clients, is that they're not avoidant, that they don't stay stuck, so that they can get through this, so that we all can get through this. And yes, the world will look different, but that doesn't mean that the world is ending or that the world is going to be a worse place. Perhaps it will be uncomfortable for a while as we adjust to the new realities of the world. But this disillusionment is a form of grief.
Right. And to make, in a sense, use what's going on as a way of maybe making things a better place, like the way countries seem to be coming on board now. And, you know, there's a hope right now, actually, that if every country is going to follow through on their commitments, that we could make a genuine dent in this issue of terrorism in the world. And maybe from this sacrifice of thousands of souls, if we all work in our own little community, within our own heart, within our own family, within our own community, that maybe there's that possibility that things really can be better. So we're going to take another short break, and we'll be back with Bill Benson. This is Stuart Altshuler. Don't go away. Thank you.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Would you like to become more creative, successful, and affluent as you grow older? Have you ever considered that getting older has its advantages? Science is proving that our IQs can actually go up as we get older. Vintage People, a delightful book by Dr. Jerry Old, MD, demonstrates the secrets of how, in the absence of disease, our brain power, creativity, and accomplishment can actually get better with age. Learn the secrets of how you can become more successful, creative, and affluent as you get older. Research shows that throughout history, most of the world's greatest accomplishments have been done by people in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and even beyond. Learn how the second half of your life can be better than the first. Vintage People is now in its second printing and is changing the way America thinks about aging. Vintage People by Dr. Jerry Old, available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or ask for it at your favorite bookstore.
Do you take vitamins to supplement your diet? Millions of people today blindly consume vitamins and supplement products without any knowledge of what they're taking. Do you know the difference between synthetic, fractionated, or whole food supplements? Standard Process does, and for 70 years they have produced the best all-natural whole food supplements available. Standard Process was founded by Dr. Royal Lee in the 1930s. Standard Process is producing their unique food supplement containing a complete dose of vitamins and minerals with their naturally occurring synergistic trace elements. All this from an organically grown whole food supplement. Find out for yourself. Call 1-800-848-5061. That's 1-800-848-5061. Call Standard Process today and feel the difference. Call 1-800-848-5061.
We've asked Pepper to tell you about Mara DeGrazia, the pet vet. Pepper says that if you love your animal, you'll want to make sure you listen to Mara DeGrazia on the Pet Vet at her new time Wednesdays, 6 to 7 p.m. Pepper is now saying that you'll learn important information about your pet and ways to take care of it. Pepper is now saying that she'd like to be let outside. Oh, excuse me. Listen to the Pet Vet on KFNX.
Have you received a copy of the current Desert Shamrock? The Desert Shamrock is Arizona's only Irish paper serving the Celtic community. It was founded in 1990 and covers news in Ireland as well as news and local events in the Irish communities of Arizona. Additionally, you will find Irish book reviews and Irish music reviews, Irish sports, the Irish in America, updates on the progress of the Irish Cultural Center, the Shamrock calendar, and the Celtic directory of all the organizations around the state. For a complimentary copy, call 602-242-3203. Soon you will find www.desertshamrock.com. But for now, go to www.phoenixirishfestival.com and click on sponsors and then click on the Shamrock.
Talk to our expert hosts in the Phoenix area. Call 602-277-KFNX. Outside the Phoenix area, call toll free 866-277-KFNX.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist from Los Angeles, and my guest tonight is Bill Benson, who's also a licensed marriage and family therapist from Los Angeles. Our topic tonight, appropriately, is grief, individual and collective grieving, people to pets. And in this last segment with you, Bill, actually, I wanted to talk about the issues people have in dealing with the loss of pets, and how you developed this as a specialty, actually.
Well, I've always had this wonderful sensitivity to animals that I've always thought of as a strength. And in doing, once I get past the cocktail, people, you know, make the cocktail jokes. You know, I'm at a party, and I say, well, one of my specialties is the people pet emotional bond, and I help people through the grief process when their animals die. And then they make some, you know, kind of joke or whatever. But then they finally realize, it strikes them that, wow, I could have really used you last year because, you know, my dog, Rover died, and I was just broken up, and I couldn't work. And, you know, oftentimes people tell me that they grieve harder and longer for an animal's death than they sometimes do for a family member, a human family member. And I don't think that's necessarily strange. I think that there's a wonderful bond that occurs between an animal and a human that is different than the human-to-human bond. And the animal, people-pet emotional bond is so unconditional. Animals just basically want to be loved and fed, and they're there for you.
Unconditionally, they're there for you.
Unconditionally.
Yeah.
And it's really a wonderful respite from sometimes the world, as we've seen this last week, can be a really scary place. And we can come home, and I have two dogs, Daniel and Joey, Daniel the Spaniel and Joey the Terrier. And I come home after a hard day, and they're wagging their tails, and they want to play with me, and all of a sudden the world is good.
The reason, actually, I had invited you on, because I had an experience with a client of mine who he and his wife lost their, I think it was a retriever. But this was an animal that, they were getting condolence cards from all over the country because everyone knew this dog as one of the lights on the planet.
Right.
And it was such a difficult thing for both he and his wife to get through, and it really brought it home. And even without having dealt with this with a lot of clients, it was very clear to me that it was about the loss of a source of unconditional love and helping him get through that. And it took them a few months to actually get through it.
Not only are animals unconditionally loving, they also tend to be very symbolic. For example, you have a dog for a series of, hopefully, a number of years, and that dog might live through, you know, going from college to marriage to divorce and separation, and that dog is always there and is the consistent factor. So when that dog eventually dies, there's great grief that occurs because of the symbolicness of the bond and of the relationship.
And the attachment to memories of stages in one's life is
Absolutely.
What I hear you saying.
Sure.
Yeah, definitely. So it's almost as if, it's like a completion with those stages or a fear that there's no connection to them anymore, I think is,
My parents, for example, just lost a wonderful poodle by the name of Sugar. She was 17 and a half years old. And I think that Sugar really represented a connection, a bridge between my growing up and leaving home. It was their way of keeping me at home symbolically, subconsciously. So when that animal finally died, boy, my mom had to go on vacation just to get away.
Wow.
Simply because she was so symbolic. She was a wonderful soul as well, but she was also symbolic, I think, of I'm the youngest child in our family, and symbolic of my leaving, and perhaps having Sugar there was a way to keep me around the house for an additional 17 and a half years.
Wow. That's so powerful.
Yeah. It's definitely a symbolic thing as well as an unconditionally loving situation.
And there's just as an importance to have that closing ritual and funeral. I know when my bird died a few weeks ago, it was so important for me when I buried her in the yard to actually light the candle and say a prayer and complete with that ritual. We're going to take another short break here, and we'll be back in just a few minutes for some closing thoughts.
Tell the Truth Faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Your company, your computer software, your financial well-being depends on making sure that your computer runs right. How do you make sure that your computer runs right? You make sure that you know Algorithmics Incorporated. Algorithmics has the knowledge and expertise to make your computers work for you, instead of you working for your computers. They can create custom software from the ground up or solve problems with your existing programs and hardware. They breathe Windows 2000, NT Server, Unix, and networking. Depend on the expertise and know-how Griff Cadnier and his staff, whose 20 years in the industry really makes a difference. Algorithmics can help you get ahead of the competition and plan for the future, because we help create it every day. Find out what Algorithmics can do for your company today. Just call toll-free 1-877-502-5467 or log on to www.algoinc.com. Algorithmics. Algorithmics Incorporated. The future inside your computer.
Four-year colleges aren't for everybody, especially those creative people who want to get their education behind them and their career ahead of them. That's why more and more people are choosing Collins College, where you can start your creative career in less time than you think. Visit us at choosecollins.com. You'll find out about creative careers with a future in visual communications, graphic design, animation, and more. For great jobs in advertising agencies, art studios, television stations, and publishing houses. At ChooseCollins.com, you'll also find out about getting financial aid and scholarships if you qualify. Collins has small class sizes, hands-on learning, plus our instructors are experienced professionals working in the fields they teach. And after you graduate from Collins, we even offer job placement assistance, networking, and referral services. It's all there at ChooseCollins.com. Collins, where you can go farther, faster.
Please join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for an exciting new program, Sensible Medicine. Rosemarie Canale, MD, family practitioner, offers a balanced, experienced voice in assessing current medical and health developments.
Sensible Medicine will cover topics such as medical screening tests, childhood immunization, and hormone replacement therapy. Expert guests will review the latest medical innovations. Regional issues such as air quality will be addressed. You will have the opportunity to learn about and to participate in Sensible Medicine every Wednesday at 7 p.m. right here on KFNX.
Arizona has a rich, vibrant heritage and a past that is intriguing, fragile, and important to all Arizonans. Intrigued? Then turn into KFNX Friday afternoons at 2 for Uncovering Arizona, the only radio show for outdoor enthusiasts that covers today's archaeology and you. Dr. Eric Cadal, Educational Project Director at the Old Pueblo Archaeology Center in Tucson, joins up with Vicki Earhart, President of the Arizona Archaeological Society Phoenix Chapter, to bring you Uncovering Arizona. That's Uncovering Arizona with Eric and Vicki, every Friday afternoon at 2, only here on AM 1100 KFNX.
You're listening to Arizona's Talk Alternative, offering the most unique program. 1100 KFNX, Renaissance Radio.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. I'm Stuart Ultra, a licensed marriage and family therapist, and tonight we've been talking about grief, individual and collective grieving from people to pets. And I wish I had more time with my guest, Bill Benson, but I definitely want to thank him for being a part of the show and adding his compassion and expertise to what we've been dealing with this week and in general terms. I'm actually going to be doing a follow-up show next week. The title of it is Talent Taken Too Soon. My guest this will be Mike Zemanski, who's a journalist who's written a lot about the loss of Hollywood legends and actors and actresses, you know, everywhere from Marilyn Monroe to River Phoenix. And so please tune in, whether it's about Princess Diana, but how things like this affect us. And we're going to be talking about the woman who actually is singing the opening and closing Over the Rainbow. Her name is Eva Cassidy, and she passed away a number of years ago, very young. But in closing tonight, also from the Grief Recovery Handbook, you know, they talk about, they have two sentences that I want to read. One is, an incomplete past may doom the future. The importance of working through these things, no matter what it is, whether it's grieving or anything. I mean, as a therapist, very often, what are we doing? We're trying to help people let go of the beliefs that have held them back based on things that have happened in the past. Many of us are taught how to acquire things, but not what to do when we lose them. That's another line from that book. I have a little pamphlet here called Healing Grief. It was written in 1980 by Amy Hilliard Jensen. And I want to read a short thing from this as I say goodbye to you. Time alone will not heal grief. You have to deal with it, to work through it. In the process, you can actually transmute grief into personal growth. You can become something more than you were. Consider the following ideas. Build on your memories. Though you must accept your loved one's death, you need not sever all ties. You can use memories to establish a new kind of relationship, and you can find ways for those memories to enrich your life. Many survivors become more involved in their loved one's work or interest. A spouse can sometimes take part in a husband's or wife's business. In our family, there was an intense interest in preserving Eric's music, with each brother and sister developing his own musical talent and often singing Eric's songs. If you have literary ability, you might write in a way that is influenced by or dedicated to the memory of the one you loved. If you have the money, consider setting up a memorial fund or foundation. Recall the humorous times and laugh about them. Some will disapprove if you laugh too soon, but it is not disrespectful. Remembering with laughter is helpful. Assist other bereaved people. Find an organization through which you can be a friend to the sorrowing. Building on memories directly is not the only way to go. Realize that you may be at a kind of crossroads where new opportunities for service and involvement should be explored. This may be the time to become active in church, return to school, work with needy children, or volunteer at a hospital. Whatever you do, do not waste your life in unproductive sorrow. The best memorial to a loved one is a full, growing life. I think this is very important to remember. Honor the feelings, honor the grieving, but in honoring those that we've lost means having a full, productive life. Filled with passion again, allowing yourself to love again, honoring who you are in the world the way hopefully they did. So this is Stuart Altshuler, and this is Tell the Truth Faster. I want to thank you for joining us tonight, and we all say a prayer for everyone in this world that the pain, the sorrow, and the terror that we have experienced is healed and healed quickly. See you next week.
Tell the Truth Faster. We'll be right back after this station break. Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, is broadcast live every week at the same time. Thank you for listening.
Math Power, how to help your child love math even if